Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
So many prayer requests. Pastor Lisa Moore is in Guatemala, and she'll be flying home Tuesday. I've been getting voicemails and texts. Apparently, the leader of the group that she went with this morning heard was sick, so Lisa's had to kind of take over and preach. And so we lift up Lisa and her safe travel back from Guatemala. Have been really amazing things going on there. And Lori, thank you. You know how we pray for the drive-by anointing and the online anointing? Well, this has been happening pretty regularly now. Apparently, yesterday we had a fish fry here. I don't know if Kyle and his gang for the camp that they do. And man, I came and got a whole bunch of delicious fish. We couldn't even finish it. But there were people driving by. Well, Tony Barrows does her small group. Where's Tony? Was doing her small group yesterday in the admin building. And a lady was driving by with her friend, apparently. And she had been to prayer ministry a long time ago and said, "Hey, I think that's the church." They end up driving by, get back there, and it's the drive-by anointing. That person, I think, is going to contact Pat for prayer ministry. So we've had people drive by that are suicidal, going home to kill themselves, drive by, see the church, drive in, get involved with Kingdom Men. So we pray right now, Father, that let this lighthouse be a lighthouse, right? Let it be a place where the anointing just, it says, if you lift up the name of Jesus, he draws all to himself. So keep lifting up the name and let that anointing break every yoke. And so if my wife always says, "When are you going to get to the sermon?" I'll tell you when we get to the sermon. Let me set it up, okay? Sometimes I have a sermon within the sermon, right? So I'll at least give you the title, To Know God and To Be Known by God. To know God and to be known by God. How do you know God? How do you know? How do you know? Well, when you say, "Well, I know somebody," right? You might say, "Well, I know this singer, or I know this artist, I know this actor." And you say, "Well, no, you might know about their stage presence. You may know about the movie they did." I love this thing, Tunnels to Towers. My wife and I support them and first responders and all. And Sylvester Stallone, you guys know Rocky, right? Come on now, right? He was on there promoting. He says, "You know, we act, but the real heroes, we know who the real heroes are." So when it says, "I know somebody," you might know something about somebody, but how do you really know somebody? Knowing by personal in connection, right? Time, conversation, maybe walking through a difficult situation with somebody. You get to know them, right? You get to know them by spending time. And the fruit of what they do, right, Katie? It's the activity or actions of it, right? It's the time and the experience in life, how they react to certain circumstances. My wife and my kids know my buttons, right? They also know my goofiness, right? Which my wife loves. When I get that look, right? My grandkids will tell you, I have these, let's just call them redneck teeth. That, I don't know if that's good, but they're not all there. And every once in a while, I pull them out, and they go, "Oh, no, there goes Grandpa with his teeth again," right? So to know someone is to know their ins and outs, their quirks, their buttons, right? A mom can look at a child and say, "What's wrong? What's up with you?" Right? They just know that they know because they know. There's a connection. So I learned some things. My grandson from Texas had just graduated high school. He's 18. So he was here for 3 weeks. We learned some new languages. Did you know when things are going well, it's plus 200? If it's not going well, it's minus 200. Like, so we started, that's plus 200, right? I don't know what that means other than that's what it means. So to spend time and to know someone is more than just about knowing them, right? And so I want us to really understand when someone says, well, I know Jesus. When we do our outreaches on the first Wednesday of the month, we go out and about, take it to the streets. One of the, how does Ron do it? You walk up and you say, I'm Ron, I'm out, we're praying for people. Want to know, do you follow Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And it's interesting what kind of responses you'll get from that. There's a difference between knowing and following, right? From hearing and listening, there are differences. So in John, I want to turn to John 13:35. And it says, by this everyone will know. By what? So when you look at John, the revelator, John the apostle, in 13, when he says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. He's talking to the church. Isn't it sad when the church doesn't love each other? I've had issues where this one's mad at that one, so they sit on this side of the church and they sit on that side of the church. Not good. By this they'll know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Turn all the way back to the back of the book and let's look at 1 John. When John, I'm getting to the sermon, we're warming up, right? When John, think about this, John, the apostle that Jesus loved, the one that he gave his mother to when he's hanging on the cross, who was told that Peter, when he was prophesying, said, this one, what if he lives a long time? Well, John is now, this is 90 AD. Step a minute for that. 60 years after the resurrection and the ascension of Christ. 60 years. Every apostle that was with Jesus has been dead and martyred for their faith. And here's John, the old man. He's in Ephesus. Many believe that he had written the book of Revelation. He was arrested and put on the Isle of Patmos because that was a penal colony area. They needed to shut him up because he was preaching the gospel. History says they tried to kill John, and they couldn't kill him. He wasn't finished. He had to write the book of Revelation. He writes 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. So John, in his 90-year-old state of everything he's witnessed, to watch the second and third generation of the church now coming up, John writes these things, which I think is significant. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. We proclaim, John's saying, I need to tell you. I have a proclamation, a declaration to the one who existed from the beginning. Now listen how many times he says, I heard, I saw, and I handled. The one whom I heard and I have seen. We saw him with our own eyes and we touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life, the one who is life itself and revealed it to us. We have seen him. I testify. And I proclaim to you that he's the one who is eternal life. He was from the Father. He was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard. This is an eyewitness account of the one who saw the one who crucified. He saw the one who was there. He saw it. I saw him. I was there. I was at the resurrection. I saw him resurrected. I was at the grave. I was at the ascension. I was on the Mount of Transfiguration when the Father came. I was there. And I'm declaring to you, he is who he said he is. That ought to do something to your knower. He goes on and it says, that we might have actual fellowship. It's again, he says, that we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship. What's fellowship? Oneness, connection, knowing. And this fellowship, verse 4, this fellowship with the Father and is with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share in our joy. This is I know that I know. John's saying, I know him. I know him. And he wants us to know him. This is the message you heard from Jesus, and now we declare to you, God is light, verse 5, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we're lying. If we say we have fellowship with God, you're a liar. If you say you have fellowship with God, but then you go on living in spiritual darkness. How can you say you love God and know him if you continue to walk in sin and darkness? You're an actual liar. You think you've been deceived. That's what the Revelator's telling us. Don't be deceived. Don't. We need to practice this truth. And if we do have sin, praise God, we can confess our sins. He's faithful to forgive us. He goes on in 1 John chapter 2, says this. If you do sin, we have an advocate. Isn't that good news? Verse 3, John, 1 John 2, 3. And we can be sure that we know him. We can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. It's conditional. If someone claims, I know God, but he doesn't obey or they don't obey God's commandment, that person's a liar and is not living in truth. But those who obey God and its word truly show they completely that they love him. This is how we can know. This is how we can know. And we live in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So when someone says, I believe, this is where James says, well, show me. Show me that. What does your belief look like? Then you look at chapter 3. He goes on and goes even a little deeper. In John 3, he says, verse 1, 1 John 3:1, it says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And this is who we are. But the people who belong to this world, they don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. If you're getting mocked, made fun of by the world, it's because they don't know him. They just don't know him. They think they're doing right. Goes on, it says, but dear friends, we are already God's children, and he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we know this, we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. What a testimony that is. So all of you that have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. Verse 6, anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. Ooh, yipes. Doesn't get any more clear than that, right? Who do you belong to? Who has been sinning from the beginning? But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil, and those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning. This is lifestyle. This is the practice. This is not the infallible, we're sinless. No, no, no. Every one of us, we have our challenges, sin patterns. But he's saying, if you keep in that pattern, if you've not been filled with the Holy Ghost power to break that practice, then you have to question who you really know and whether he really knows you. So don't let this be condemnation, but let it be a place of desire to go deeper in the Holy Spirit power, right? But don't be deceived either. If we're practicing this lifestyle of sin as a routine pattern of life, there is real danger in the life of a believer who's been deceived. So that's the sobering truth of John. In the old age, he didn't tell us that to make us like, oh. No, he told us that because I want you to know the one I know. Yes. That you'd witness that and that we would have this joy by knowing him. Yes. So turn over the back of your sermon. I've listed here, Mary Esther had this as a handout for me, and I love it. In order to know God, we ought to know the characteristics or the who is God? What is he like? And these are the names of God, and they reveal his character. He's almighty. We sang such amazing worship, right? He's almighty. He's the master. He's a provider. Most high. He's everlasting to everlasting. Creator. He's the one who has made covenant with us. He's a healer, Jehovah Rapha. He's the healer. He's our banner. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's the banner over us, right? Psalm 20 says, lift up your banner. That's why I love when these kids are up here flagging. Raise the banner and let them mark who he is. Yes, yes. Shalom. He's the God of peace. If you lack peace, run to the God who is all peace. Don't look for other things to find peace in. He's here. He's the Lord of righteousness. He's the God who sees everything. He's mighty. He's a God who's jealous. He's jealous for you. Right? We sing that song. He is jealous for me. He's the Lord of hosts. So, Lord, I thank you that when we look at the characteristics, we can see that the character of God is one who can be trusted to know him. Okay, I'm ready to go to the sermon. You ready? That was a warm-up. Now look at your handout. It says, there's a scripture in Galatians. Again, let me set this. Paul, he spent years now, the Apostle Paul, who he went for multiple years into the desert, then 14 years, and then he finally meets with Peter and them in Jerusalem. But he's dealing with an apostasy in the church. And so he writes the book of Galatians to address the church that is starting to wander off the path. They want to add stuff to Jesus. It's going to be Jesus plus religious things. They want to go back into the Old Testament. It's going to be Jesus plus circumcision. It's going to be Jesus plus religious acts. It's going to be Jesus plus these holidays that if you don't do this, what Paul is saying, who has bewitched you? Who's brought you into witchcraft? Why have you lost your way? So really straightforward. And so he deals with this. What are the idols? What's the idolatry in our lives? What are you and I trusting in that substitutes Jesus? Are you looking for peace in your glass of wine at night? Are you looking for it in food? Are you looking it for in the weed that you smoke? What is it that you're trusting in? That form of idolatry, if you're trusting in anything other than Jesus, then you've opened the door to be bewitched. Right? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15. If you open a door to rebellion, you open the door to witchcraft. And it is subtle and deceptive. So he tells Paul, saying, look, I don't want you to go back into any forms of idolatry. I want you to focus on, he tells us this, read the top of your scripture, of your handout here. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slave to so-called gods. What enslaved us before? Immorality, perversion, lies, deception, pursuing things in the world. Those were the things. He says, before you knew God, you were a mess, and so was I. Now it's our testimony, right? He set us free. So now that you know God, then he goes on and says, or should I say, now that God knows you? I love this piece. I found Jesus. No, Jesus found you, okay? Right? Somebody prayed for you, and Jesus pursued you. It says, no one comes to Christ unless the Holy Spirit draws them in. By circumstances of life, some of the toughest things, the darkest things, it's like, this isn't work. How many times we've heard from people, I've tried everything, and then I got Jesus. So he's telling us, look, God's found you, So why would you go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? He's talking about religious spirits. Even in this atmosphere, the charismatic, we can have religious control spirits that, like, this is the way we do it. Now, I'm not opposed to routine, but what he's saying is be careful. If you know God, what are you trusting? What am I trusting in? So I listed at the top there, knowing about Jesus or knowing Jesus. From knowing to know him. 1A, if you're enslaved by worldly idols that are useless, we want to be set free because he's the one who sets us free. Didn't he tell us in John 8, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I love that. Indeed. Turn away from your idols and serving the things. He actually addresses that in 1B, addresses the church at Thessalonica. He tells them, he says, you've turned away from the idols and you are serving the living and true God. The living and true God. Number two, when we love God, he knows us. This really warmed my heart. When you love God, he knows you. Now, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, spirit, right? So, and then what's the second? Wait, do you know my neighbor? He says, live in peace as much as able with you. So there are those that it's difficult to live in peace with, but love your neighbor as yourself. I started this by love will validate discipleship. If you got issues in the church, you're supposed to deal with it. Matthew 18 says, if you got an offense with them, go privately. Not to your friend and gossip about them, but go privately and deal with it. In fact, Matthew 5 goes on, it says, if you think someone has aught with you, go to them. Like if you, like, let's say that my wife gives me one of those looks. Okay, I know. I got to go. Did I do something? Yeah, or mm-hmm. Don't let those things fester because they'll grow hair. It'll get ugly. And so that's why it says go privately. Matter of fact, don't let the sun go down on your offense. Woo! I kid Terry, Pastor Terry, all the time. I remember when Terry was in the office next to mine, and I guess I did something to offend him. That's hard to believe that I would offend Terry. But he came to me and says, I'm upset with you. I said, well, let's talk about it. He goes, no, I got till sundown. I wanna nurse this a little longer. So I'm ready to tell you. And so I love his honesty. He was like, yay. Don't let the sun go down, because what'll happen is a bitter root. We got families that don't talk to each other after years. They can't even remember why. Some bitter root happened. And so he's saying, look, if God loves you and you love him, then he knows you. Look at 2 there. It says, I love those, 2a, I love those who love me and those who seek me diligently. I love those who love me and diligently seek me. 2 Chronicles, I didn't write this one down, but 2 Chronicles 16:9 came to mind. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord search and give strength to those whose hearts are fully trusting him. Picture this. The eyes of the Lord are like, look at that heart searching for me. I'm going to give them strength. So I love what the scriptures write here. Proverbs also goes on and says, let's look at, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 8:3. I like this a lot. 1 Corinthians 8:3. Paul's dealing with things that were idolatrous and food that was dedicated to idols, and he goes on, and there's a verse he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 in verse 3. It says, New Living says, But the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. King James says it this way, but if any man loves God, the same is known of him. So when we, in our pursuit of love, it's, I think at the end of this journey of life, when we stand before him, he's going to ask the question, did you learn to love? It's the greatest commandment. Did you learn to love? And he goes on and says, those who love me, I recognize you. That's why he declares, I know you. We're going to share some scary scriptures about at the end where he says, I never knew you. Ooh, can you imagine standing before God thinking that you did it and you were deceived? And he says, I never knew you. What you did was unauthorized. Whoa. Man, that is a frightening, frightening scripture. Number 2b says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows the way of the righteous. 2c, it says, you've searched me and you know me. I started this service with Psalm 139. It says, you searched me and know me. That's why he could say David in all of his mess, King David with all of his brokenness, he had a heart after God because he recognized his weakness. He says, you've searched me and know me, and then show me if there's anything that doesn't please you. Isn't that a great prayer? Reveal to me if there's any arrogance, pride in our lives, to ask God, show me. And then show me how to correct that with the power of the Holy Spirit so I don't walk here anymore. That's the journey up the mountain, right? Psalm 24, who can ascend the hill of the Lord and who can stand in the holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. So as we're climbing the mountain, I don't know where you are in place of that mountain climb right now in your sanctification journey of life. What is it in the cleaning of the hands and the purity of heart that needs to be discarded so that I can go to the next level in God? That's the humble and contrite heart. He won't deny them. That's that open, honest James 4. Who can draw close to God? When you draw close to God, he draws close to you. That's that humble heart. Then it says, then you can resist the devil and he'll flee. You want the devil to run away from your circumstance? Humble yourself. Draw close. Get on your face. Help, God, help. Great prayer. You have searched me and know me. Look at 3. The Father himself loves you. The Father, last week was Father's Day. Didn't you love the guys up here sharing about what it means to be a father? If you knew their stories, oh my, to see where God's taken them and us and me, and it's like, you're a God of great grace. Oh my Jesus, we know. It says, the Father himself loves you. Why? 3a, because you love Jesus. What father doesn't love someone who loves their children? Just a natural order of things. So God the Father loves you because you love his Son. We read that in 1 John 3:1 there. 3b, you believe he came from the Father. So this is awesome. I love this scripture. In fact, let's turn to John 14. In John 14, Jesus says, don't be afraid, I'm going to go away, but don't be troubled, when I'm going to come back for you when everything's ready. And he goes on and on about the Father. How many times I think 17 times in that chapter 14 of John, the word Father is used. But I want to look at, let's kind of focus on John 14, 21. Remember that we're talking about, how do you know that you know? Verse 21, it says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to each of them. When you love the Father and keep the commandments, so what is the commandments? Don't covet, don't lie, don't cheat, right? He said, honor your father and your mother. When you keep the moral and the what I'll call the righteous commandments of Christ, there's a moral law, there's a civil law. What he's saying is, when I give you a commandment and you keep those commandments, it's a way of you showing me by your level of obedience and desire to get there that you love me. And when you do that, my Father loves you. And guess what happens when we love you? We reveal to you. He will pull back the veil and he will bring revelation of things. And the greater that you love, the more and more the revelation. How many when we started out, right? We're over here, it's like, we don't know scripture. We don't know. We're like on this journey. I'm justified. I just came to Christ and I don't know anything. But as I journey through life and I bounce up against these mamas and papas of the faith, I'm reading the scriptures, I'm learning more, I'm walking in, I'm in a journey of sanctification, journeying up the mountain to the point where now I see greater and greater revelation of the glory. And you love him more. And again, the Father says, I'll love you more and I'll reveal more. So how do you know God? By obeying his commandments. And the result is there. Look, let's turn a couple of more scriptures. Turn to the right, John 17, the great priestly prayer of Jesus' prayer to his Father. You think the Father would answer Jesus' prayer? I think so. You're in me, and I'm in you, and the Lord's in me. It's this amazing blessing of John 17 promise. But I wanted to focus on what happens. Look at verse... I love it all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at John 17:25. O righteous, he ends this prayer. O righteous Father. Now remember, he's about ready to be arrested within moments. And he prays this prayer to his Father. He's about ready to be put on the cross. He knows it's about over. His journey and his purpose in this life is being completed. And he prays to his Father, O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know that you sent me. They may not know everything, but they know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Revelation. The more the revelation of Jesus gets in, the more you pursue diligently after him, the more revelation, the more love you get. And when you fall in love with Jesus, I love what Heidi Baker says. She goes, she says, I want to be a laid down lover because lovers accomplish more than servants. Just ask a mom who's up all night long with a sick baby. Love is amazing, and he is love, and the more we tap into that love, the more we get transformed from the inside out. But it gets even better. Look at 4. To know him releases favor. Those who know him, do fathers give good gifts? They should, right? We see that in Luke chapter 11. It says, I'm sorry, in John, yeah, Luke 11, it says, if an evil father can give a good gift, how much more would the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He gives really good gifts and he favors. Maybe a deadbeat dad's not good, but an earthly, godly, living father, you heard it up here. Their desire from those fathers last week was that their children would know Jesus. That they wouldn't go through the mess that we made in our lives before. And so favor, Father's favor, he releases it. You know the scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. I'll read that later. But the result is results in keeping his commandments, we get changed. There's an evidence. We've been having a lot of fun with our small group, my wife and I. We have some new believers there So Wednesday night we were talking and said, well, how do you know? And he says, well, you know, the things I used to do, I don't want to do them anymore. The people I used to hang with, I don't want to hang with them anymore. In fact, they don't really even like me because So what happens? We're changed, right? When he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that when you come to Christ, you're a new creation. A new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's like your mindset changes. Your desires change. The things that used to... Now, you may still be tempted by the enemy, but you're like, nah, I don't like that. In fact, what you used to be good at as a sinner, you don't even... You may still want to do it, but it isn't fun anymore. Right? It's like, because why? The Holy Spirit's alive in you saying, I don't like that. I don't like it. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. Stop. Stop grieving me. So we need the Holy Spirit, and that's one of the ways you know that I know Him. I'm motivated by an internal sense of the presence of the goodness of God. And lovers don't want to hurt those they love. And I love you, Lord, and I'm sorry for my mess. The evidence of being changed. The things that entertain you, the things you pursued, they've lost their desire, or they're in the midst of losing the desire. In fact, cringeworthy, when you start to see things and it's like, ah, I don't like that. They use the name of the Lord in vain. They do, it just... Ah, man. Number five, what are the consequences of knowing Christ? This is big. 5a, you say you know Him, but you don't keep His commandments. You're a liar and the truth is not in you. To declare that I'm a believer, but the evidence of my life does not keep the commandments. Now that's not perfectionism, because we're all on this journey. Paul says we have John says we have an advocate. He intercedes for us. And when we confess our sins, He's faithful to forgive us from all unrighteousness. But let's look at some really sobering scriptures. I know this part's a tough message, but I'd rather hear the truth. Ron sent me something from a person who was in hell, wrote back to his friend, "Why didn't you tell me the truth? Why didn't you tell me the truth of what you knew?" Ooh. That'll get you past, I don't want to be not bold, and I don't, I get nervous around. Get unnervous. Speak the truth in love. Not don't love to tell the truth. Tell the truth in love. But let's turn to Matthew 25. You're probably familiar with the scripture, but it's the getting ready for the wedding of the Lamb. And there are 10 bridesmaids, Matthew 25 and verse 1 through 12. So there's a wedding that's about to take place. We know this from Revelation 19. Blessed are you who are called or invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. There is a wedding feast. The Father is preparing a wedding for a bride, and that's you. And that's me, right? And so these 10 are actually in the wedding party. They're bridesmaids. Some call them, they're the virgins. So there's a purity around them. They were believers, and they're invited to the wedding. They're actually in the wedding. They're in the wedding party. And 5 of them fall asleep. That's a scary scripture for those who once followed God, but now they've kind of lost their fire. They've in the place where the Holy Spirit that was in them, they've kind of let it leak. You know, when you're in the world, you leak. That's why we got to get refilled. That's why he says, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together, especially as you see the day of the Lord drawing near. Hebrews 10:25. We need fellowship. We need to be... What happens when we're in worship, lifting up the name of Jesus? Something is happening to your spirit, man. You're being brought into the lyrics. You're being into the presence. It happens in my house all the time. My wife's been putting on this Hebraic worship. As soon as she puts that on, the whole atmosphere of the room changes. It's like, what happens? Because when you glorify Jesus, the glory is there. And so we have this thing where, so these 5 of the 10 let their fire go out. They let the oil that's in the lamp of the Holy Spirit not be present. And He shows up when you least expect it. And it's not a good story. How do you taste and see and then forget that the Lord is good? That this is a very sobering scripture. It says, they fell asleep, Matthew 25. They tried to get the oil at the end, but it was too late, verse 10. They actually tried to get the oil from other believers. It was too late. Then those who were ready went with him to the marriage feast, verse 10. And the door was locked. Locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned and stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. And he called back, believe me, I don't know you. Wait. Does that strike you like it strikes me? It's like, Lord, help us to keep the fire burning. Keep the oil in the lamp. Stay connected to the vine. John 15, Jesus is the vine. You are the branches. Don't be separate or you'll be cast into the fire. Those are ones who knew Jesus, were connected. There's even another sobering scripture that this one honestly brings the fear of the Lord. Turn back to Matthew 7. This is people that were in the ministry team. These were people who did more than just, yeah, I attend church. These are people that did the gifts of the Spirit. Matthew 7, 23. Not everyone, this is Jesus, red letter, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord. So they knew him as Lord? Well, at least they called him out. We have this distinction between, there's a difference between Jesus Savior and Jesus Lord. When he's Lord, he calls the shots. Right? So if there's areas where he's not lordship in your life, then those are the places we need to give him lordship. All of us, I'm talking to me right now. This is that place. This is a fear of the Lord scripture. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me. You break God's laws. King James says it this way, I never knew you. Never knew you. Depart from me. You have worked iniquity. That word iniquity is twisted character in the Hebrew. It was this, you may have done religious acts in my name, maybe for your own glory, maybe because for money, I don't know. Whatever you did was unauthorized. The Holy Spirit did not tell you to do it that way. Therefore, the Holy Spirit was never in you, and I don't know you. That is a sober, I'm talking to me right now. I take a different test than you. I'm up here preaching this truth. It better be ground in here. I'll tell you, that's a fear of the Lord in me. That, Lord, let this be true. No hypocrisy. You can't just proclaim something and then look. And God knows we're all on a journey for his grace. But this scripture ought to capture us in a place with, I'm on a journey up the mountain. That I might know him. So we're going to shift over. This is a scripture I've been kind of meditating on. At the bottom of your handout there, it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It goes on, it says, the priceless value of knowing Christ. The priceless value, the fathomless riches of Christ is what Paul says in Ephesians 1. The priceless value of knowing the resurrected Christ. And it goes on, there's a part that says, and to know or to experience his sufferings. I don't know what you're suffering. I don't know what you've been suffering. But it's part of that process of knowing Christ in his resurrected glory. It actually becomes part of the reward system, I believe. You didn't turn away from me when everything went south. I know you. That's the church at Philadelphia, right? In Revelation chapter 3. You're weak now, but I see your perseverance. So we're going to get ready for an amazing dance on a song that I love so much. It's The God I Know. The God I Know. I want us to meditate on this, and then there'll be an altar call at the end that we would know him. We want, this is a place of surrender. You know, we can't deliver a message like this without giving an opportunity to repent. And so I want us to be able at the end of this thing to have an opportunity to come and ask the Lord to forgive us. If you're not born again or you've walked away, wouldn't this be a really great time? Oops. To come back to him. So I want to thank our Spirit and Truth dancers. They've been working on this, and I love this song. Hallelujah. We're so blessed with all the talents. So let's just close our eyes for a minute. The Lord speaks through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 29. And he says this, verse 11. The Lord says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And their plans for good and not for a disaster, to give you a future and hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity, restore your fortunes, and I will gather you. Lord, I pray this morning, if there's anyone here that needs to turn around, I'm going to invite you to come to the front. This is a turnaround day. I want to go deeper up into the level of the love of God, and I want to go up the stairway to ascend the hill of the Lord. So if you're here, even listening by live stream today or sometime in the future, or you're here this morning, this is a day of salvation. I want to know you, Lord. I don't want to just know about you. I need you to help me. So there's two parts to this. One is, I want to stand. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because Jesus said, those who acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father. But if you deny me before men, you let pride or some other thing get in your way, then I will not acknowledge you either before my Father. That's another one of those sober scriptures. So we're not ashamed of the gospel. It is the salvation unto eternal life. So if you're here and you're saying, I'm making a turnaround today, I want you to get out of your seat, just come up and stand and say, I want to start today with a new journey. And I need the power of the Holy Spirit to help me. Is there anyone here that wants to do that? And if you're listening by live stream, I'd love you to text us and tell us that you did that. Come right to the front. It's a turnaround day. We want more of the Lord. This is such a good day. Can I just step right up closer? This part two of this is going to be, Lord, I need to know how to love you more. And if my oil in my lamp, if my distractions have caused me to lose some of my fire, I need you to relight the fire today. Some of you are battle weary. The battles can drain the oil out of your lamp. But we don't want to stay there. And then so right now, Lord, if there's those that are saying, Lord, I want more oil in this lamp right now. I want to be ready in the bride party that when you come. So if that's you, just come, just stand and say, Lord, because he says, remember, if you diligently seek me, you'll find me. The diligent seekers, they're not ashamed of the gospel. Forget about anybody else. Who cares what other people think? You're going to stand before God alone. By yourself. And he'll say, he knows everything. So isn't this a good day that there's something about humility drawing close to God that he draws close? And then you can resist the devil. If there's something that's got some kind of idolatry, you're smoking weed and you need to give it up. The psychosis associated with weed smokers right now, the schizophrenia, the weird, I'm just speaking to somebody now. You need to give it up. That is not your comfort. It's not your idol. Don't listen to what the world tells you. It's a lie. You need to give up something that has ensnared you. Slavery of anything. I'm laying it down. I need you. Something happens when you come and say, here it is. God, empower me to let it go. Anyone else? So, Lord, we thank you this morning. I want to invite the ministry team, if you'll come, and let's lay hands on these that are here. Lord, I thank you. Let's make a declaration. Let's all stand, and let's make a declaration together. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that you told me that I could love you as the greatest commandment of my heart. Help me to love you more. Empower me, Holy Spirit. Father, you said if I asked you, you would send me the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you, Father, for the Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me, to direct me, to empower me to live a life worthy of your calling. And I'm so grateful that you came and you died for me. You gave yourself for me. So Lord, I want to give myself to you. And I thank you in advance. Bring more revelation. As I love you, reveal your truth to me. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts. And we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.